So today I want to talk to you about being conformed or being transformed. Conformed or transformed. Every morning I got three grand boys who they come down their stairs running usually, especially if we're going to go eat some bacon and eggs and get them for school, you know, to go out to eat breakfast before. And at the bottom of the steps, there's this sign, and it says, "Why fit in when you were born to stand out?" by Dr. Seuss. Don't you love that guy? He wrote some great books. And they come down the steps, and they see that sign, and it gets into their mind and their psyche. And, you know, they're only like 3 to 7 years old in that house at the Pearson clan. And so they're going to get to look at that sign for a lot of time. I wanted to show you a picture of what it looks like to stand out. There it is. Look at that. Sweet baby Jonah. More. In the midst of everything going on in his house, and I can guarantee you it's chaotic on the farm, if he can get a hold of his guitar that he doesn't know how to play, but he's learning, and he can get by himself, and he can raise his hand, all of a sudden, he just stands out. We were in the middle of a crowd in our big city of Darlington at the square at a Christmas thing last year. And I tell you, it was like church. The mayor pretty much preached, and they had people singing and praying. It was, like, really wonderful. And they started singing songs, Christmas songs, and I was looking for Jonah and all the grand boys, Zeke and Anderson and Sailor and Griffin, they were all running around everywhere, you know. Most of them was hunting something to eat. And I found Jonah standing in the midst of a group of people, and his hands were just like that. He was standing out. He was standing out. You know, he was making a difference in the world that we live in. Because you know what? They have purpose and they have destiny over them. They have it over their lives. My kids had purpose, and they've got purpose, and they've got destiny in their life. And my grandkids have purpose, and they have destiny in life. My great-grandkids have purpose, and they're not even here yet. And they got destiny in their life. It is for them, for generations to come. And you know what? The same goes for you, your kids, and your grandkids. Why do you want to fit in when you were born to stand out? God has big things for your life. You will make a difference. Then you have a purpose and you have a destiny, and it's written all over you. Another thing that I was told whenever I was a kid growing up, and I don't know if it's good or bad, I kind of get the heart of it, but I was told this. My grandma told me this. She said, "Stevie, you might as well get used to it. People are going to be jealous of you." Well, it kind of sounds a little bit arrogant, doesn't it? But I get it. She wasn't telling me they were going to be jealous of me. People get upset whenever God is good to you, and they see it. It does something in their heart. It humbles the one that God is good to. And for everybody else, I guess they just get jealous, according to my grandmother. So I'm going to tell you, you might as well go ahead and get used to it. People are going to be jealous of you because God is going to be so good to you, and He is so good to you. My brother says this. I got these little quotes, you know. He said, "Steve, I was thinking the other day." Now, we're on the phone. He works at the hospital. And he had just come out of the operating room, and he said, "I was thinking, man, people may love us or people may hate us, but one thing they will never do is forget us." Hey, so I give you that too. You cannot go unrecognized in this world. You cannot, because you were born to stand out. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives off light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I was walking through the grocery store the other day, and this guy was walking around pushing a cart, God bless him, and he said, he was just, I heard him, he was ringing out, "This world is dark. It's dark. It's in bad shape. And I'm just doing my part. Come to tell you to pray. I said, buddy, I'm praying. I'm praying. People, I'm praying. I'm praying. Well, I have a challenge for you today. Because I hear that a lot. This world is dark. What's new? What's new? If it's so dark, turn on your light. Turn on your light. Because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So I ask you, are you shining? Are you shining? It is tough sometimes. And it can get bad. But light will define a perimeter around you where darkness cannot creep in. When things are the darkest in this world, we as Christians should be shining the brightest. When people are in despair and can't see their way out of their desperation, we have a light that can bring peace. We have a light that can bring hope. We have a light that can bring joy. I have friends and I have family that get attacked by the enemy's arrows. Do you know that the enemy, Satan, he hates your guts? He hates you. And there's nothing that makes him more happy than to steal from you, to try to kill you, to kill your dreams, to crush your hopes. And when he does that, it leaves us bitter. It'll leave us disillusioned. We won't even be able to see who God really is. And it leaves us discouraged. And whenever I see that, I try to turn my light on a little bit brighter. Because I can tell you, I do not want to be bitter. Been there and done that. Just a little bit of high blood pressure. It was not good. I heard this the other day. It was really funny. It said, how did it go? It'll come to me. I got the end of it, but I don't have the front of it. I don't think it's bitterness. Anger. It's not envy. When you see somebody, unforgiveness. There it is. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. I heard that. It's like, what in the world? But it's the truth. It just eats you up. It just eats you up. So when I see that, I want to turn on my light, you know. And I'm learning this. If my light feels like it's getting a little dim, I turn off the TV. I turn off my iPhone. I put up my iPad. I turn off my computer, unless I'm listening to SiriusXM. And then I allow God to stoke the fires of my heart. I allow God to renew the passion in my heart for Jesus. I allow God to renew my love for humanity. And all the problems in the world, they may not go away, but it changes my perspective on how I see it. Because God wants me to see the world. When I say the world, I'm talking about people, not the ball. Like he sees people. In Romans 12, 2, it says this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. When somebody says, what is the will of God for your life? I may not see it all, but I know it is good, it is pleasing, and it is perfect for your life. To conform means to fashion oneself after one's mind and one's character, to be molded to a pattern. It's pressure applied to the outside of something that attempts to bring about change. How many of you ever played with Play-Doh when you were growing up? How many ever plays with Play-Doh as an adult? You can take Play-Doh and you can put it into a great mold and you can press it, and that Play-Doh will look like grapes. But I promise you this, don't eat the grapes. It's still Play-Doh. It's nasty. Conformity, I just say, don't do it. Don't think like the world we live in. Don't let your character be formed by the pressures of the world. Don't join the madness. Stay in the light. Stay in the light. So do not conform, but be transformed. Transformed. You were born to stand out. When I was a kid growing up, you know, Transformers were just coming out. How many of you 50-somethings had Transformers whenever you were a kid? They were big and they were expensive. But it was the coolest thing in the world because you could take this toy that looked like an airplane and you could turn this and turn that and twist this and twist that. And the next thing you know, you don't have an airplane anymore, but you have a car or you have a boat. And when we are transformed, we're changed from one thing to another. We're changed from one thing to another. It's like turning lead into gold. I've never done that. Never seen it done. But I have seen a transformation of the heart where someone bitter was turned sweet. Where someone who was full of hatred and prejudice was filled with love. I have seen the look of despair in someone's eyes and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit bring in hope to push out despair. It's what I'm praying for my friends this morning that I mentioned. I have seen people who are in turmoil, falling apart, and they get to a place to where they allow God to touch them, and that turmoil turns into peace. We are to be so full of Jesus that our light shines so bright that we cannot hide in the world. We can't hide. We're going to be seen everywhere we go. Transformation takes place from the inside out. We look different and we think different and we act different because we are different. Transformation, though, it is not that easy. It's easy for me to say it. It's a little bit harder to walk through it. So, how do we do it? How do we do it? I just don't want to blow smoke. Don't want to tell you how to do it. How to at least start it, you know. You're born again, you're a little bit tired, you're a little bit beaten up. There is a scripture that I want to read to you. And Pastor Carl, good morning to you. My goal, brother, is 23 minutes. I'm on track. Listen, Psalms 46:10 says, be still. Still. Be still. When I was a kid, I hated being still. I really don't like it as an adult either. Be still. My brother was very hyperactive. He would sit there in class and he could not be still. Ricky, quit. Stop moving. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it, man. He couldn't hold himself. And so he literally developed ulcers at like in the fourth grade because he was trying to be still and not get in trouble. When we go hunting, they say, Steve, be still. I can't do it. I make so much noise. I can't help it. I bring out a bag of chips. I don't know that you're not supposed to eat them. I mean, I'm hungry. Why not have a bag of chips? You know, they don't know I'm out in the woods. Whatever it is I'm hunting, I've yet to figure that out. I'm eating chips in the woods. So it's hard to be still. But I want you to understand, it's a whole lot harder to do what I'm fixing to tell you. The Hebrew word for still is called rapha. And it means this. This is really going to twist us up. To be weak. To let go. To surrender. To give up. In the midst of the chaos. That goes against everything. Oh, in my nature. Because if I'm being attacked, I don't want to stop. I don't want to lay my weapon down in the middle of a war. And if I'm drowning, I want to fight to swim to keep my head above the water. And that's a great example of what it means to be still. I remember taking a lifeguard class years and years ago. And whenever you would go into the water to save someone who was drowning, there was a way you would wrap your hand around them and you would swim back to the edge or to the beach or wherever you were at. But if that person was fighting the one who was trying to rescue them, the person fighting could drown the one who was rescuing them. Then they both die. It's hard to pull something out of the water when they are fighting. But God is telling us to be still. To stop the rat race. To let go. To surrender. I've been practicing that. I really have. I've been practicing that. So I'm not talking something that I'm just making up. I've really been trying to put it into my own life. I needed it. I needed it. I figured out that, man, I'm just getting wore out. I need to figure out how to be still. And so, whenever you do, it does cost a little something to be still. And I have found this little spot. And I don't know how long I'll be able to keep going to this little spot because it takes me about 6 hours to do this, to just get to the spot and get back. And then once I get to where I'm about at, you have to drive down this long way, and then you have to get on a four-wheeler, and you have to go a long way, and then you have to get out, and then you have to walk. Something that I really don't like doing. And most of it's up a hill. And then I tuck myself into this little blind. And I'll either turn on my Bible. I will eat my chips. And it's so quiet. And all of a sudden, I realize, oh, God, I cast my cares on you because you care for me. So in this quiet place, God, I give up. I surrender. And you would be amazed at how God in his love starts flowing in. Because the second part of that scripture is not just be still, The second part in Psalms 46:10, it says, and know. Be still and know. So to know God, you got to be still. Now the Hebrew word for know is yada. Yada, 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 yada. No. To know. And that's the mental knowledge, the understanding, to clearly know. When we Rapha, we let go and surrender and give up to the yada, the knowledge, the truth that God is in complete control of this world, and we find peace. We find peace. When we can get to the point to trust God, you have peace. Trust God with everything. Take your hands off and trust God and just be. It's hard to do. When my son was in a motorcycle accident, coming up 10 years now probably, thank you, Jesus. 10 years. Grayson was in a motorcycle wreck. A lady hit him. You know the story. If you were here, she ran all over that kid. Knocked him 100 feet down the road, his motorcycle 200 feet down the road. We didn't know if he was living or dying. They wouldn't let us get in the ambulance. And I remember, God, there is nothing I can do. I remember thinking that. You know, there's nothing. I remember Justin saying, we was around the corner of the room where they give you the bad news, and we was standing on the wall, and Justin said, well, what happens if they come out here and tell us, hey, Grayson didn't make it? Because we didn't know if he was making it or not. You know, last time I seen him, he was having a convulsion on the side of the road, and they threw him in the ambulance. And I said, my goodness, it'll be fine. It will be perfectly fine. Grayson's not afraid to die. He knows Jesus. He's good to go. We will grieve, and we will move forward, and we will not sacrifice our peace. We're not. It was a terrible day, but it was a great day. So, we need to Rapha, and then we need to Yada. We need to be still and know God. Now, I want to leave you with these stories. And I want to let you know that you can be overwhelmed or you can be overwhelmed. The choice is yours, but you can't have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways. You can either be overwhelmed or you can be overwhelmed. Got it? I got a call. A lot of calls this week. We always get a lot of calls. And 99.9% of them I look forward to picking up. But I got a call from a guy who's struggling with Alzheimer's. And I knew when I seen the name pop up, I said, he knows who I am today. He's found my number in his phone. So I grabbed it really fast because I don't know if you've ever been through that experience before, but when you've got somebody who's battling that, you know, and they know who you are, man, you grab that phone and you talk. And so he says, Pastor Steve, I called his name. I said, hey, man, what's going on? He says, well, I wanted to call and give you some good news. And I said, well, I'm all about hearing some good news. He said, you know that I had this stomach thing, this thing with my stomach, and I was really sick. And I said, yeah, I know about that. This happened like 10 years ago, 6 years ago. And he said, well, I just wanted to let you know that God healed me of that. I said, Bo, that is awesome. I am so glad to hear that good news. And he would cry a little bit and talk a little bit and cry a little bit. And then he walked out. He said this. He said, I walk out on my back porch sometimes, and I am overwhelmed. And I thought, here it comes. I was thinking he was going to talk about what was going on in his life. And he was. He said, I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of God. changed my day. I'm telling you that right there. Changed my entire day. It changed my entire week. I'm thinking he's going to call and complain. And no, he just wants me to know that he's overwhelmed by the goodness of God. And I thought, Steve, you're a sorry rascal. I did. And then I get another call driving down the road. Now, I'm going to tell you who this is. This is Precious Gilbert. Yeah, I heard that. Some people start laughing. Precious Gilbert. She usually sits right here. Well, Miss Precious, when COVID hit, Miss Precious stopped moving around and got down a little bit. Now she's way down. Precious, you got to get up, honey. She's in the bed. So she calls to tell me she's got a prayer for me. And it's going to last me all day long. And she starts telling me, really not a prayer. It's a prophetic word that shook me to my core and shifted my insides around. That's not happening in a long time. But I'm telling you, I heard that straight from heaven. And it wasn't just for me, but it was for my children. And my children's children. And my children's children's children. Man, for generations to come, this prophetic word that she gave me. And she said, no, I'm not going to have church. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not doing it. And if you know her, you get it. She said, but sometimes, Steve, I just lay in this bed doing my therapy. And I just get so overwhelmed. And I said, here it comes. With all she's got going on, boy, that wash machine breaking. Ain't got nobody to come over and stay with me. I'm getting ready to hear it. She says, I'm so overwhelmed with how good God is to me. 2 times. In 2 days. Do you think God might have been trying to talk to me? 2 times in 2 days. I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of God and how good God is to me. And she went on to say, and how good my brothers and sisters in Christ are to me. When I think about that, I get just overwhelmed. So you can be overwhelmed or you can be overwhelmed. You can, but you can't be both. And then a friend of mine just went to heaven. His name was T.J. Harris. What a man. What a good man. TJ was working on a ladder and fell off and hit his head years ago. Started having problems with his memory and onset of dementia. And he forgot who I was, but somehow he didn't forget who I was. Because I'd go see little TJ and I'd sit on his porch with him way out in the country and he'd go, well, how you been? I ain't seen you in so long. What you been doing, boy? And we'd talk about anything he wanted to. And sometimes he'd forget it pretty much immediately. So we'd talk about it again immediately. And he might not know what was going on in a day, but I can tell you something. You crack open a hymn book, and you start singing a hymn, he didn't have to have the book. He knew every word to every song in the book. And he would sing louder than anybody else because, see, he was a song leader. He led worship at church. And so he might have been dying on the outside, but he was overwhelmed with the goodness and life of God on the inside. So the day that my brother drew his last breath and breathed it out and opened his eyes, in heaven, it wasn't a sad day at all. It's a great day. His kid said, this is a great day for Dad. Man, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? That's how it's supposed to be. But while we're here struggling and fighting, we need to be overwhelmed. And so me and my brother, last story, promise. Me and my brother walking through the woods. He's killing me, literally. Up a hill and down a hill. Walking. And then he decides that when we do get to the four-wheeler, he wants to drive it. It's my four-wheeler. I mean, I should get to drive. I am the older brother, even though he is bigger. Ricky, you are bigger. Know it, son. Don't you love Facebook? Because I can say things to people, and it's there. So for, like, eternity, he's going to flip to this, and it's going to go, Steve saying, Ricky, you are bigger. Know it. So we're walking through the woods, and then we get on a four-wheeler, and I'm having to ride on the little side that you're not supposed to ride on because I don't want to straddle the back and hug up next to him. I just couldn't do it. I told him, man, that's not since we were nine. Not happening. And we're going down through there, and he just stops. Just stops in the middle of this beautiful place. I mean, down the hills of the creek, up the hills of the creek, a little waterfall. He says, sometimes I'm just overwhelmed. And I'm about to fall off the four-wheeler now because that's three times in 3 days. Because I know he's not going to complain. I mean, he's out in the woods with the best guy in the world. He says, I am so overwhelmed at how beautiful it is here. In this place. You know what? These people learned what it meant to be still. Instead of being overwhelmed by the world and all the stuff that we go through, they were still. They had shown themselves to be a weaker vessel because in our weakness, God is so strong. He is so strong. He can do so much that we can't do. And he wants to do for us. But we can't do it at the same time. We just can't. He's got to be God and I got to be Steve. And these folks learned what it meant to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. They were still and they knew. Stand up with me, please. It's so good to see you this morning. I want to pray for you before we go. I want to bless you as we go out today, that this week you will take just an hour of your time or 15 minutes of your time and just be still. Lay it all down and allow God to let you know him all over again, fresh and anew. So, Father, I bless my family here today, Lord, my friends, my family, Lord, in Christ. And I just ask that you be with us this week, Lord, that you will teach us what it is to be still and to know you, Lord. And would, in the midst of our being still, Lord, refresh our souls and our spirit, Lord, and help us to be a light in our community. Help us to be a light to our friends, Lord, and help us be a light to our family, Lord, because we are the light of the world. You say that in your word. So, Lord, we want to shine bright this week. We want to do good things and good deeds, and we want to love people like you love them. And, Lord, we want to show people who you are and bring them to Jesus, Lord. And I just bless everyone listening to my voice now with your goodness, your kindness, your peace, your joy, your help, Father, and your prosperity. And may your blessings follow us, not only today and this week, but all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and thank you.